Well, I heard Don count down. I guess that means we're on. I'd like to welcome you to another Saturday night on the Don and Wynn Show. My name is Wynn Free. Don Newsom is my co-host. And, Don, you want to say hello?
Well, it's a pleasure to be here today with you, Wynn. It always is.
It is?
Absolutely.
You were grumbling at me before. Tell the truth. Come on.
You mean I'm not allowed to grumble at you?
You can grumble. Well, Don, I got a question for you.
Okay, fire away. Is it the same one you asked me earlier?
No. We usually start off with an apology, so go ahead.
You know, surprise, surprise. I have no apologies to make today.
You don't want to tell anybody how you deleted your whole email file?
Well, you know, that was just,
about our show, though.
No. Although it could have been, because I just about deleted everything.
Okay.
Luckily, I got most of it back.
Mm-hmm. But just to tell those that are tuning in for the first time a little bit about how our show works, Don is the founder of Blogging Service. He's also a partner in a big business enterprise, which he never likes me to tell people, but I told him. There you go. And
we'll talk later.
He stays home all day and dedicated himself to bringing information about the changing world to whoever he can reach. And a couple of months ago, somebody introduced me to Don, and at the time, I have a book out called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I've been talking to these group souls on the other side through two girlfriends. And he said, Wynn, you should come on the radio. Well, he told me what I had to do was to produce the show myself. So I sat in my little room, talked into a tape recorder for an hour, told the story, which is still somewhere posted on Blogging. And then Don said, that's far out. I want you to do a show every week. And I said, well, it's kind of boring to sit in a room and talk to four walls. So then, at that point, Don and I kind of became friends. We started talking to each other.
That's because we both talked to walls.
We both talked to walls. We started talking to each other every day for a while, right?
That's right.
And then we were having these very interesting creative conversations. And I said, maybe we should record our conversations and put it on your blogging service. And then one day, I secretly recorded one, and in the middle of it, I said, Don, I'm recording this. This is going to be our first Don and Wynn show. And here we are. We've been doing it for about 2 months. We've been having guests. And my title for the show is Drive Time Radio That's Out of This World. And I think that accurately describes it.
It sure does.
We've had... We're bringing a very selected group of people on who I would say have the criteria of having some understanding of this shift that's going on in the world, and that I feel and Don feels are credible and have something of value to offer people, because probably most of the people that are tuning in and listening know there's something going on in the world. Some of you know what it is. Some of you wonder. Some of you are exploring different options and surfing the internet trying to find out. And so we hope to give you an idea for what that is on the Don and Wynn Show. And today we have a very, very special guest that's going to be on in just a few minutes. And her name is Carla Ruckert. And for those of you that have read my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, Carla Ruckert was referred to in her channelings in a great part of the book, because the case was made that there is this group soul that has identified itself by the name Ra that we could call a major oversoul for our planet, a guidance system on the other side that's been working with mankind's evolution for millenniums, and that group soul has been speaking Carla, and she has a website called llresearch.org, and she's dedicated her life to this work of bringing the message forward of this group. And my book makes the case that the same group soul was who was talking through Edgar Cayce, as well as David Wilcock, the current alleged reincarnation of Cayce. So, Don, what would you like to say? You know, your mother might be listening, and she's going to say I'm hogging it. So, go ahead.
Well, you know, the Law of One series is the information that Carla brought to humanity, and I've been trying to get as many people as I can to read it. As you know, I put prominent links with a little odd graphic so that it stands out, so that people really focus on it. I really, you know, that material is so profound, and it is life changing. And for those people that are truly seekers, or beginning to seek answers to who they are and what it all means. What is God and Source, and how do we fit into that? And this Law of One series that was brought out by Carla actually puts that together in a very wonderful way that explains so many of the answers that people have been seeking for lifetimes. And it's a really in-depth volume that when people get into it, like when I read it, I just read it voraciously. And the more people that read it and get into it, they start to tune in, and it does change you. There have been so many people throughout the world that have had profound changes because of that material. It would be innumerable to count them. And we're just so honored to have Carla Ruckert on with us tonight because, to be able to present that sort of powerful information has been, I'll bet you, quite a task for her. And it's just amazing to have her on, don't you think, Wynn?
Well, it's all right. No, of course it is. Of course it is. I've been nervous all day. So, you know, before we bring Carla on, I wanted to give a couple of acknowledgments. There's a couple of people out there who sent this, broadcast this to their email list. And I want to acknowledge those people because they're both doing, there's a lot of people that are doing special things, but I just want to, these are two people that I've tracked for a while. And I know their intent, and one of them is Will Blue Otter, who has for I don't know how long, he has a website called Prophecy Keepers, and he interviews people. He's a Native American himself. He interviews people that have different prophetic information, and he's very dedicated to helping the world. And his website is prophecykeepers.com. And when you're not listening to the Don and Wynn Show and BBS Radio, check out Prophecy Keepers. And the other person is Jody Boyne. And Jody Boyne I looked at his website today, and the URL is too complicated to have anyone remember. I don't know. He never got a real URL, or if he did, I didn't get to it. So if Jody Boynes has a website for wanderers, and we're going to be talking about wanderers in the next period of time, but wanderers, probably most of the people listening tonight are what Ra calls wanderers. They are beings from other dimensions, higher dimensions, that volunteered to take incarnations on our planet and then got all screwed up for many lifetimes. And this is the lifetime we're all supposed to get unscrewed up and make our divine connection. So Jody Boynes has a website for wanderers, and
I may have that information on the Proving the Spiritual page.
Do you have a link to that, Doug?
I may. If people go to our link, Proving the Spiritual, they're going to get a whole bunch of links to information on wanderers. And I think that link may be there.
If anyone wants to look up Jody Boines, they can do a Google search and put in Boines Wanderer, B-O-Y-N-E-S, Wanderer, and he comes up at the top of the list. So he's easy to find.
Yes.
And one of the things Jody does as a great service is he has an email list, and he sends people almost daily updates on what's going in the world, what's happening, and I mean, it's very addictive to get on his list, and it's very good information. So if you find his website, get on his email list, and maybe we'll put up a link on Blogin.
Sure.
So that people that want to get on his email list can, because he's got great information, and he has been totally influenced by Carla Ruckert, and so I'm sure he's listening now. I think Hope Will Otter is, so with Blue Otter, so we'll say hello to both of them. And let's see, who are we supposed to have lunch tonight, Don? Do you remember? Was it Wayne Dyer? No. Marianne Williams. No, Carla Ruckert. Carla's listening to all our corny stuff. So, Carla.
Yes, Wynn.
Say hello to everybody.
Hello to everybody. Don.
And there we go.
Wynn, it's a joy to listen to every corny word. And I hope that I may offer some corn of my own. Popped, of course.
Popped
a little butter, some salt. And hello to Jody. I have not met Mr. Otter nor asked him why he's blue. However, Jody is an old buddy of mine who has been a link on our site, LLResearch.org, for a long time. His place is called the ET Phone Home Page, and you can write into Jody and tell him your weird story that nobody wants to hear, not the police, not the UFO centers who supposedly are gathering information and all that. Jody will take it, as will we, actually, at LL and L Research. By all means, write it to one of us, so at least you've got it off of your chest and you can go on with your process. And hello to everybody. It's just a joy to be here. And please don't feel too honored, because I'm a total bozo and a heavily flawed human being. But I have been very engaged and very passionate about sharing whatever I do know with whoever wants to ask me about it, having to do with waking up and smelling the coffee and really becoming aware of the situation. Believe it or not, I've been involved with this solidly since 1962. The interesting thing about that whole experience of the last a little bit over 40 years now is that I've noticed more and more as time has gone on the sameness really of the fear-based information that you keep getting. Oh my gosh, this is the worst time of all. Things are going to happen. Things are going to fall apart. And just trying to create more and more fear. When you hear these fear-based channels, I just want to encourage everybody to take a deep breath and release all fear, because this is an exciting time to be alive, and there is no downside to it. We knew early on in life at some point we were going to die, and the fear-based information is always some aspect of this. You are going to die, and you may be doing it later this year. In 62, the predictions were for 65 to 70. By 1970, the predictions were for 75 to 80. It was always comfortably a little bit ahead, so it hadn't happened. Time to wake up, and now here we are saying, well, Mayans are talking about 2012.
There's always
same
that
pattern,
Tuesday.
Folks.
Wait, you know what, Carla?
Time to release all fear.
Now or never, I'd guess.
Yeah. But it is time to get this job done. I mean, it is time to make some simple choices. Wynn, you want to talk about that choice?
No, no. This is not my interview. This is your interview. I just wanted to say that we are all going to die. So if you're afraid of dying, you may as well start now, since it's inevitable. And the whole thing about everything that you're into and I'm into and what has become so apparent, that there is no reason to be afraid of dying because we go on. And it's like, you know, I can say that, and people can hear that mentally. Mm-hmm. But one of the side effects of reading this kind of material and hearing the counseling of a group soul that has died probably millions of times, you know, the entities in that group, and are still here and telling us how it works, is it kind of proves that death is not real. I mean, you know, no matter how many times you read it, when you hear, how often do you get a chance? You know, people say, well, if the dead would come back and talk to me, then I would know. Well, this is essentially the dead, so to speak, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the dead probably, God knows how many times of lifetimes, that have evolved to be a group soul, and now are kind of watching over our planet and trying to assist it. They are assisting it, not trying, assisting it in this evolutionary process, and you have been a mouthpiece for that group. Is everything I said correct as far as you're concerned?
Well, you know, you could get into details and pick apart any one of several statements, but I think in general you're on a really good track. I could talk, Wynn, if you want to, about what the difference is between one kind of guidance system and another, or even the differences between the various parts of the Confederation of planets in the service of the Infinite Creator that I've channeled. That might be information that would be of some use.
I would love to hear about that.
All right.
Can I make a suggestion? Before we go into the meat of this, I always think it's good to lay a foundation of how it all started, because somebody that channels these immensely high sources is kind of a really anomaly to a regular person. And they wonder, how did this happen? Why them? All this kind of questions. And I know that years ago, you were applying for a job. Isn't that correct?
Me?
Yeah.
I was applying for a job?
Or you got a job with a guy who did parapsychological research.
Oh, right. I didn't precisely apply for that job, but I will be glad to talk about how it all began. And that will be part of it.
Yeah, I thought it would be good to talk about
it. I sure got a job.
You got a job. You got one hell of a job.
I'm still doing that job.
Right? One heaven of a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so let's share a little bit about that, and then we'll go into the more of the...
Yeah, I'd be glad to. And really, that's where it starts if you're talking about the different kinds of channeling, because it's all personal experience with me. They're really, unless you want to mix sources and become quite confused in your studies, there's really no clear way to study channeling because of the fact that channeling is a made-up word trying to describe something that people observe happening. I can tell you what happened to me. When I was in college, I was already a really kind of odd person in that I was a mystic. I had been a mystic all my life. Jesus as a being was part of my magic kingdom, that place that a lot of gifted or odd children report going into, where, you know, they have special friends and maybe they have a pet that talks to them or they can talk to the trees. And I had all of that thing, but I also had Jesus. So I came from a situation where I was so mystical that the chief things in my childhood were perhaps different than what people are interested in their childhood. I was a musician, I was a mystic, I was a philosopher. I was always trying to go deeper, and at a certain point in my life, I became aware that my Episcopalian church, which I'd been born into and loved and had worked within its boundaries all my life was just not enough. I had fought that part of me that was unable to accept dogma and had gone to my bishop and said, I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave the church. And he said, I don't think so. Let's talk about that. And I explained that I couldn't buy the Virgin Mary thing and just didn't seem like I was a very good Christian. And I loved Jesus. He was very real to me, and I told him why. I said, but, you know, I'm having trouble saying the creed. And he said, well, I have trouble with the Virgin Mary myself. So I said, well, how do you say the creed? And he said, well, you know, in faith and hope that, you know, one day, probably not in this lifetime, I'll be more aware of the mystery, more seeing more into it. But for me now, it's enough to go through it as an article of faith. And he shook his finger at me. He said, now, don't you leave the Christian church because you have no one to talk to about Jesus if you ever leave. So I hadn't left the church, but I was not entirely happy with it because I could not find any opportunities for absolute silence in my practice. And I really wanted to include silent meditation in my rule of life. So this fellow that Wynn was talking about earlier, whose name was Professor Donald Tully Elkins, and whom I always called the Elk in later years after I'd gotten to know the man, he was a commanding and even intimidating figure when I first met him, I being 19 and he being some 14 years older and very accomplished, both as a researcher and a teacher, and as a pilot. He just had all kinds of things going for him. He was very brilliant. He'd been working to explore the paranormal since the mid-50s, and he would get in his little plane, and he'd fly off to Chicago or Tennessee or wherever, and he'd talk to people, anybody he could find that would talk to him. J.B. Ryan was a friend of his back in those years. He talked to a lot of the UFO contactees back in a more open day before the ridicule lid came down, like Orfeo Angelucci, believe it or not. Dan Fry, people that actually had experiences and were perfectly willing to talk with Don about them. So he was developing this knowledge base. He'd run across what he called the Detroit information. The Detroit information was brought through a group that was very interested in man consciousness and understanding. And I think if you Google on man consciousness and understanding, you'll find some wonderful material. And Don became aware of this material long before the advent of the World Wide Web, went up to Detroit, had a talk with Walt Rogers, who had created that information. And in that information was a discussion by allegedly extraterrestrial folks about how you could create an extraterrestrial-type channeling group without having to go through all the bother of a close encounter of the third kind, to use Hynek's term. Don thought, now this is interesting. I think I'm going to go back to my engineering and physics folks and see if I can find a dozen or so students that would like to do this experiment. The experiment consisted of silent meditation, which was what brought me into it. So there here were these 12 engineering students, one of whom was my boyfriend at the time, and myself, a renegade from the studies on the other side of the street in Louisville, Kentucky. The sciences are on one side of the street, as it happens literally, and the arts are on the other, liberal and fine. And I was studying mostly liberal and some fine arts and no science whatsoever. So here was this very anomalistic woman sitting with a professor and 12 physics students, inviting the silence and also realizing that it was possible that we would be able to pick up information by following simple instructions. Everybody but me in the group eventually began to channel. However, the scientific value of the experiment was blown because Walt Rogers visited Louisville after people had been sitting in silent meditation and not channeling for 6 months. Walt Rogers came down and did some channeling and said, you know, you guys are right on the verge of it, and you're just so afraid you're going to channel wrong information that you're not letting it come through. So how about, you know, getting it together to sort of lay your tail over the line and do this thing? Well, immediately people began actual channeling, but the scientific value was compromised because of the fact that we brought in Walt Rogers from Detroit, and he'd done that channeling, and changed things. So it wasn't a purely scientific experiment. Nothing could actually be proven. At that point, Don decided as a scientist that the only thing to do was to keep collecting material, because when you have material of a somewhat dubious value, the main advantage to such a database is to make it as large as possible so you can begin creating some understanding just from the drift of things. And we're still doing that in L&L Research. I did not channel for 12 years. And when I began channeling, it was because all the people from the original group had grown up, gotten jobs, and moved on. I came back to town after spending a little bit of time in Canada working at the University of British Columbia as a librarian, and discovered that Don was now looking to create a new channeling group. And so he did so out of the dregs of the old one, which were basically me. And in 1974, he asked me if I would try channeling along the lines of the way that everyone in the original 62 group had learned channeling. And I said, okay. I began channeling, and it was a potpourri of many, many voices. Because of my naturally positive tuning, I was getting positive information. But it was all over the place. And I just began noticing that, you know, gee, if you ask this kind of question, you get this kind of energy. If you ask that kind of question, you get a different kind of energy. I discovered if people ask questions about spiritual principles, then you can keep a tuning very well that feels like the original tuning. If someone starts asking you about specific information about doom, about the end of the world, about the ascension, and so forth, all these trigger topics that trigger fear in people, the tuning actually drifts. And it's like you're switching channels or on a TV or stations on a radio. The information that you're getting varies very slightly, but the import or the impact of the information varies greatly. So I began being far more careful about tuning before a session, about trying to coax people into asking questions about spiritual principles rather than about specific events and so forth. And so my channeling began to be more steady and to have more of a steadiness and a stability to it, which people appreciated. And this was a good 5 years before the Law of One material was begun. This was all conscious channeling. And it is also channeling that I do to this day.
Carla?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, all the people in the room that were channeling, who were they channeling? Did the voices identify themselves, or was it just...
Well, you know, we had a wild range of experiences with the people who were genuinely trying to channel what they were picking up. Some people channeled voices that you see from when I was learning to channel in 74. If you go to our website, you can see all of those when Don was acting as a channel himself and teaching me. They were teaching through him. They were teaching me. The Confederation entities were teaching me how to carry their contact. Sometimes you get people that were just shouting out numbers and letters. Sometimes you get people that were shouting nonsense, total nonsense. Don's own father was very keen on proving that he was hip, you know, and he was going to show his son that he was cool. He began channeling. We could never get a single sentence that made any sense out of the man. But he was, you know, genuinely trying. And but it was pretty much all over the map. But the people that were sticking with the silent meditation and were taking the information that they already had and trying to live it so that they were doing this every day, began pretty much channeling voices like Catan, Latos, Latui, names that come up in my own channeling.
How about discarnate entities? Were any discarnate entities coming through, just earthbound?
I did get quite a few discarnate entities because people would ask for them. People would ask for people these days have probably never heard of entities like Manka. But at one time in the 50s, the manga tapes were all over the place, and people said, can you find manga? Can you find, the source channeled by so-and-so? You know,
mm-hmm.
and they'd give various names that I don't even want to go into. But, yeah, at first I didn't know any better than to simply to go around and see if I could fish up whoever people were asking for.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those things were very interesting. I think if you get on our site and, for instance, and do a site search on Yada, Y-A-D-A, Yada Dishaidi, fascinating guided channel, just really totally a discarded entity, an inner planes guide. And maybe when that might be something that it would be good to mention is that one big division between types of channels is the inner planes channel and the outer planes channel.
Mm-hmm.
The inner planes channel, my own inner planes channel is, I call her Holly, but it's the Holy Spirit. I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I take the stuff literally. I ask for the Holy Spirit, and I talk to Holly, and we have conversations right out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can do this, but if you have faith to begin with, it's a lot faster process. If you want to get in touch with your guidance system, sit down with a piece of paper and a pen, and you'll start. Just write a question out, and then write down what the next thing you think, and then write down your reaction to that, and then write down the next thing that you get in your head. You can't tell the difference between your thoughts and your guidance. You're
mm-hmm.
that close to your guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to externalize the process in order to realize that it's actually going on. Or you can just talk out loud, or you
mm-hmm.
can put it on a tape recorder, or you can do it on a computer. But one way or another, it really helps to externalize some of this so that you realize you are talking to guidance.
You know, the people around you personally usually end up having some kind of channeling experience, don't they?
Well, I try to avoid that,
uh-huh.
but there is something energizing about my presence. I try to encourage people not to channel. I think
mm-hmm.
it's something that I encourage people to get in touch with their guidance, but I encourage them to do this in a way that's strictly within their own energy field.
That's interesting, though, that you would say you encourage people not to channel.
Right.
Maybe you could elaborate more on that?
Gladly. It's a very crowded universe out there, and I have watched people's personalities be split apart under the influence of a very strong channel. Some people are naturally gifted. Some people are a little dense. There's a wide range of how much in touch with that balance between intuition and intellect that you've got. And people that are tuned already to be a little fey, to be a little mystical, may well start picking up very strong entities fairly quickly. And these are not fragments or delusions. These are entities just like you and me. They don't happen to have third density or consensus reality physical bodies, but they are entities. Not all of them are pleasant entities or entities that you want to talk to.
There's negative realms out there, aren't there?
There's a lot of mischievous energy out there. There's a lot of negatively oriented energy out there. So I think in terms of channeling, I encourage people not to take up channeling. I encourage them to get in touch with their own guidance. You can't get hurt asking
mm-hmm.
for your own guidance because it's totally within you. It's closer than you're breathing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different matter to pick up an outer channel, and that's
mm-hmm.
what I encourage people not to do.
Mm-hmm.
I used to teach channeling all the time until I watched three different people at three different times have to undergo therapy. In one case, have to be placed in a mental hospital to get it back together. I mean, there's really a lot of cobbling back together that needed to be done. The poor woman needed resouling completely, and that is an intended pun. So it's a wonderful thing to realize how real guidance is, but it's a very sobering thing to watch mischievous or negatively oriented entities take apart a human personality shell. So I don't like to see that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it is possible for it to happen if you do this kind of thing without the guidance of an experienced channel and the strength of a group tuning.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things when I was teaching channeling I was very strong on was trying to teach people how to tune, and that's based on knowledge of who you are. That is the hardest part of learning to channel is getting in touch with who you are, because the only way you can challenge spirit is from who you are. You say, I am one who follows this principle. I follow unconditional love. The one I see as that entity which to me best represents unconditional love is Jesus the Christ. Therefore, I am going to challenge in the name of Jesus the Christ, for whom I would die and for whom I am living my life and trying to follow his ways, his truth, and his life. So I will challenge in the name of Jesus the Christ, and I will make people that I get in contact with say that Jesus is Lord. And I won't just make them say it once. I'll make them say it three times. And if I can make this contract with them that I am coming to them to make a contact with the consciousness of unconditional love, and they are the highest and best channel that I can carry in a conscious, stable manner, then we've got a deal. I let go of my personality, and I give them the floor. And it is time for who knows what. But I trust that group tuning that has asked the question, that has brought the circle of seeking together, I trust the connection that I've made, and I let that energy play itself out. It's a fairly crystallized situation.
That is, wow. You know, I had a couple of questions. And let's just say I was coming from a point of knowing nothing. The question I'd ask, you said inner and outer channels.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about inner channels, I guess you're talking about your own inner higher self or inner intuition.
That's correct. Higher self is a good way to put it. Now, the material that those of Ra came through with in a completely different kind of channeling, in a trance channeling.
And would you recommend that, or is that something different? Because I hear of a lot of people that do what they call deep trance channeling.
Well, the difference is that in the trance, you don't really have any more control. You can't stop it. You're out of your body, and you're hanging out somewhere else while they use the entire system, the body system, the voice,
right,
everything. And It was a far different experience for me, certainly very wearing on me, and I was encouraged by the ones known as Ra, the group known as Ra, not to do that particular kind of channeling unless I had Don Elkins and Jim McCarty as my batteries.
Right.
When Don died in 1984, I made a determination that I was not going even to look for the Law of One or the entities called Ra, because they had told me not to.
Right.
I did get Ra's for a while. There are at least three times that I can remember saying, okay, I'm Ra, now you can channel me. And I went, okay, can you say that Jesus is Lord? And there's dead silence, you know, in the realm of whatever it is that you talk to when you get this sort of information, which is very intuitional. At any rate, I never channeled the Ra group again. But, yeah, the energies are pretty much, you know, you can tune before you get such a contact, but afterwards, after you've gone into trance, that's the end of it.
Right.
And you really are not able to affect the channeling. So in that way, it was completely different, and probably is the reason why people love that material so much, because my chatty personality was out of the way. Now, if you read the raw material itself, as opposed to my conscious channeling, you are in the land of Nod. I mean, you're talking about very compressed, precise information.
Yes.
Being given like in a very narrow band way so that every word is carefully considered. And there are a lot of similarities between the raw material, so-called, and German philosophy in the density of the material and the difficulty with the language itself.
Yes.
When the raw was faced with the idea of speaking about people, the word person was apparently too far out for them to work with. It just wasn't specific enough. So what did they do? Just like a German philosopher, they made up a word. Instead of person, they called people mind-body-spirit complexes, mind/body/spirit complexes. When people read the raw material then for the first time, there's this load going into it where you have a learning curve just learning the terminology. we have glossaries on site and so forth, and so does David Wilcox's site, ascension2000.com. He has a study guide, in fact, that was prepared so that people could start to penetrate the Law of One material. If you click on one site or another, you find the Law of One material. It's on our site. It's on David's site. It's on a lot of sites, actually, and in many languages. If your first language is in English, look around. You might be surprised. But when you find it, if you find that you're fighting the information just because of the language, go to a Wanderer's Handbook, which is something that I wrote for people that were having trouble reading the Law of One. It's one of those things where I just basically did a book that was taking the most frequently asked questions from people that wrote in on the web, because that gave me a digital database where I could go back and check the questions, see what people were asking over and over. And there's a lot of Law of One material quoted there. There's also a lot of my conscious channeling quoted there. There are also a lot of stories and stuff from the people that were writing into me. And then there's my own highly questionable prose as well. So I think that you might check that out if you're having trouble looking at the material. Also, you can just click on our site, go to the library, click on transcriptions, click on the year 2005 and see what we've done lately. Sometimes, very synchronistically, something that you're thinking about is something that somebody that has paid for a session with me or has come to a public session, we do Sunday sessions, has asked that question. And you can just go in there and go, wow, here it is. Here's something I can think about today on this subject.
Sure.
And just totally get into it from that standpoint. It's a real nice kind of a Nietzsche Ching moment when you run into a question that you wanted to ask, and, man, there it is. Somebody's already asked that question.
Well, you
I have a question, Carla. When you first started having the raw contact, obviously, I would think you would say, is this real? And is this really right? How long did it take you of having that contact before you said, man, I've got something really amazing coming through me?
Oh, immediately. Yeah, well, but see, by that time I'd been channeling for quite a while, and I no longer bothered to question the process. Mm-hmm. By that time I'd already produced thousands and hundreds of thousands of words, and mm-hmm. if it was coming from me, isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Because I wouldn't have thought I had that many words in me. But,
did you trust the source right away, or did you?
Well, see, the first time that the raw came through, I had gone through the entire challenging process, and they
mm-hmm.
answered the challenge just fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I trusted the source, and I knew that it was anomalistic, that I couldn't remember anything about it. I couldn't
mm-hmm.
remember going to sleep. So I knew that something was different about it, and at the same time, I trusted the Elk, and I trusted Jim McCarty, and both of them were totally knocked out by this information. I never saw Don Elkins happy, except when he was talking to the Ra group.
Mm-hmm.
He was happy sitting there reading over the last session and creating questions for the next session. He was happy when he was talking to them, and when a session would be over and I would wake up, this was one happy man I was talking to. So I knew that if Elkins was impressed, I would probably be impressed if I knew what the heck was going on. Unfortunately, they thought at the beginning, Don, ever being the scientist, thought that if I knew anything about the information, it might pollute the information. So he wouldn't let me see it. So I went through this time, I think it was like 23 sessions went by before they let me see the material. And during that time, of course, Jim and Don would say, does your mind-body-spirit complex have a distortion towards fullness/hunger? Which was a way of saying, are you hungry? But you see, it was couched in the way the Law of One information looks at everything, which is in terms of our density, which is the density of choice, and the concept of everything as coming into balance, as everything not being in opposition, but containing paradox, so that you didn't have two opposing circles, one called good, one called evil, or one called hunger, the other called satiation or fullness. You had two circles that intersected with a common part in the middle, which is fish-shaped. Interestingly enough, an old Christian symbol that means unconditional love. And that's what the law of one material is all about, unconditional love. How do you find it in yourself? How do you find it in the creation around you or in the people around you? How do you find, indeed, the Creator itself to ask about this situation? That is the kind of question that the law of one material is so good at helping you to cope with, because of the fact that using this basic viewpoint they were so good at putting into effect just in the way they phrased things, you were suddenly given the gift of a cosmology or a structure for the universe in which various things like the amazing dynamics between the physical world and the metaphysical world were not given in an either-or basis. They were given in the sense of these two intersecting circles with commonality in their middle. This fish-shaped, I think it's called a mandorka, technically speaking, when that occurs. And this mandorka is the place of paradox, where paradoxes are resolved, where paradoxes are at least found to have a commonality that allows you to go forward without eliminating hunger or satiation, without eliminating good or evil, but beginning to understand that these are dynamics of a larger picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're looking at us outside of time, aren't they?
Well, I think that in the time-space as opposed to the space-time continuum, in the metaphysical world as opposed to the physical world, time and space are circular.
Mm-hmm.
And all that is occurring to us in previous lifetimes, in lifetimes to come, and in this lifetime, which to us is all important, all of this is occurring in a circle. And the harvest opening from all of our incarnations is moving towards the center of that circle, which is our soul stream. In actuality, I have a feeling that our individual soul streams eventually move into group soul streams and then eventually move into the Creator. But that's a long story involving a lot of densities, not just this one or the one to come, but a whole octave of densities, 1 through 7, with the next octave beginning with the next heartbeat of the Creator, which is the 8th density, which moves into the 1st density of the next creation.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this wonderful exploratory trip through all of these different experiences, the experience in first density of being the elements, earth, air, water, fire, rock, sky, wind, you know, all of these elementary things. And
you mean you started out as rocks?
We're still... we have rockness within us. We have that memory buried deeply within our frontal lobes, which we access only occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
One good thing that meditation is good for is putting you back in touch with some of your other density experiences.
You know that old saying, when you're a rock?
Speak for yourself, Don.
You know, maybe you're the bell that tolls for everybody.
You know,
wasn't there a rock and a bell that tolled for everyone in that poem?
But
we're talking about John Donne here.
You were talking earlier, excuse me, when...
I know mostly about rock and roll, okay?
Okay. That'll do for me, too.
You were talking earlier about the Galactic Federation. And you were going to explain that, and then we got into the topic of how you got involved in this and the channeling. But there are so many people right now channeling all these different beings that
right.
many now on the internet, most specifically, are familiar with the Hattons and various beings from the Galactic Federation. I could go list them, but there's so many.
There's really no need to. I think what people need to take away about channeled information in general is that they need to be listening to their own discrimination carefully.
Right.
There is probably 95% out of the 100% of stuff out there that's not for you. What you're doing is you're exploring. And when something really rings your chimes, here's how you know it. You know it because you're resonating. You're vibrating like a wind chime or like a bell. And you're saying, you know, it's like I knew this already, but I'd forgotten it. And now here it is again, and I'm so grateful that I've run across it because this is really, I want to focus on this. And you just get this feeling. It's very subjective. And I think truth itself is very subjective. And you need to realize that you are responsible for your metaphysical universe.
Right.
In that you are the creator, and what you say goes. So if you start taking anybody, me or anybody else, if you start taking or channeling as being a source that has authority, you've given something very precious up, and you should not do that.
You've given away your power.
Don't give away your power.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Read it. If it says something to you and you want to use it for a while, use it. But if it doesn't get past the lions at your gate, man, just drop it.
Yes.
Have a second thought and walk on, because there's something right around the corner. If you're seeking, there's something waiting for you to find it. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be in anybody's channeling. It might be in a road sign. It might be, say, your totem is a hawk or an otter or some being in nature that you run across in your, you know, Subaru on the way to the market, and you go, oh, I wonder why I saw a hawk today. What was I thinking, you know? And then you start going into that, and you're getting guidance all the time. It's not necessarily has to come from a channel.
I love the way you put that. I mean, I can't thank you enough for that, because that's something that people should remember, that channeling really, really is when you give your power to it. You're giving up your own power,
yeah,
and your own choice. And you know, so much out there right now is coming from these negative sources, or at least sources that are maybe mostly positive, but yet have that.
That's right. If people don't tune, and if they don't challenge, and if they themselves are not at a point in their lives where they know themselves very well.
Right.
Their tuning during a contact can vary widely.
Right.
Consequently, even if you trust somebody's channeling or say, you know, that and that and that was so good, that don't give in to the desire to trust everything that
right.
channel. Even me, and I try to be really, really responsible and do 110% of a genuine job at clearing myself out, making myself transparent, and then just letting the source come through just without any distortion that I can help. Still, I might have a bad day, you know, so please, you know, just take care to guard your own discrimination and your own temple, because that's really what's going on. You're creating your own sacred space.
Well, you were going to talk about earlier about, I think, if
you're
yes.
hogging all the questions.
But he hasn't gotten one out yet. So let him have the second half of this one.
All right, go ahead.
No, you were just initially when you were talking, when we started the Dawn and Wind show, you were saying you were going to elaborate more on, I believe it was, the Galactic Federation?
The Confederation.
The Confederation, okay.
That's why I was getting into the densities, because we have Confederation entities which have come from the three densities immediately after our own. We have channeling from the density, which is a location which is totally oriented into refining the lessons of love that we have chosen in third density. That's fourth density. So we have fourth density contacts like Hatan. But remember that my Hatan is coming through my distortion. Somebody else's Hatan is coming through an unknown amount of distortion. And they may not seem at all like the same, and they may not be the same, because there's nobody more clever at sounding like positive channels, the negatively oriented sources that would like to take over positive channels. And there's a lot of this that goes on in the world of channeling, where somebody starts out very positive and then becomes mixed in their vibration because of the way that they're reacting to the questions asked them, or just because the questions are so relentlessly
right.
fear-based. But there's fourth density channeling, which is love-based. There's fifth density channeling, which is very wisdom-based. Then there's sixth density channeling, like that of the Ra group, which is unity-based, let us say, balanced between love and wisdom. And this doesn't get into some of the other dynamics that make channeling interesting, like the dynamic between power and peacefulness. But basically, those are the three densities that make up the Confederation. Some have called it the Galactic Federation. Some have called it the Confederation of Planets in the Service of the Infinite Creator. There are also groups, or at least one group that I know of, which has been popularly called the Orion Confederation. Not necessarily suggesting that all the stars in Orion are filled with negatively oriented people, but you know how that goes. One bad apple, and the whole barrel gets a bad name.
You're right.
Anyway, it's a pretty big barrel. But there are negatively oriented confederations that are just as interested in the propaganda machine and creating a certain climate on planet Earth where people's choices are indeed taken away from them, and they live in a constant state of fear, and their only hope is to belong to the right group and to do all the right things and basically to become completely swallowed up in following the dogma of whatever channeling source that you got a hold of. I certainly don't want to mention any groups or names.
Right.
But as you explore channeled information, you will find some of the negatively oriented channeling. And just look for how it makes you feel. If you start contracting, if you start having fear, if you start thinking, well, maybe I should make some response to this, like finding a safe place in case things fall apart, realize that you have stumbled into a source that has a lot of fear-based orientation and is probably service-to-self-oriented. Do you want to follow that? Fine, it's your choice. You can graduate service to self as well as service to others. But it's the choice that you do have to make. Do you feel like becoming more and more light, more and more radiant, more and more involved in loving, and feeling compassion, genuine compassion for other people, and responding to that and being engaged in it? Or, alternately, would you like to collect power to yourself? Would you like other people to serve you? Do you think that you know the best way for everybody and basically should be given the job of telling people what to do? If so, either join the army or realize that your service is self-oriented.
Right.
It's pretty simple. This is, you know, this is the density of choice, and that's the choice. Do you want to serve the Creator by serving others and loving them and really making the focus of your life being to go beyond yourself? Or do you want the world to come to you? Do you want to magnetize things to your way of thinking? If so, then you're involved in service to self. It's a choice. But you have to make the choice, and then you have to run with it. That's the whole idea behind getting ready for graduation.
You know, one of the things that amazed me when I first started reading the raw material was the fact that, there's a predisposition in one's mind, in my mind, probably a lot of people say, I want to be one of the good guys, so I want to be service to others.
Mm-hmm.
And service to self are the bad guys. But in fact, the raw material, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, the raw material said, as far as the Creator is concerned, there's no value from one to the other, that one can evolve either path up through the densities.
And they did say that the Creator had a bias toward service to others and had made that path somewhat easier.
Right.
In that as you start polarizing service to others, you start becoming aware of all the help that's around you and that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
This in itself is a tremendously helpful thing. Whereas mm-hmm. the path of service to self, you get lonelier and lonelier because you, after all, know everything and you must figure out how to get everybody else to do what you want them to do. So it's powerful, but it's lonely.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that service to others' work will never be. But you can graduate along the path of service to self just as easily as you can graduate along the path of service to others once you've made that choice. The difference between the positive path and the negative path is that if you stay on the positive path, you do have the advantage of a certain amount of the Creator's bias liking it better. And also, you don't have to switch paths in early sixth density. According to Confederation information, the negatively oriented path, the service to self path, peters out early in sixth density, because once you become aware not just of love, not just of wisdom, because you can have pure love for yourself and pure wisdom. You cannot blend wisdom and love without becoming aware that other people are you and you are other people, and that all of you together are one unified system, one final energy system, one final bubble of being that is creating a field that is actually the creation. So you become aware at that point as a negative entity, oh darn, I'm going to have to switch polarities or I can't go any further. I cannot go any further. Well, fortunately, by this time, the negative entity is extremely powerful. And when the entity decides he really wants to move ahead, all he has to do is do that classic convert thing, that 11th hour decision making that caused the thief on the cross next to Jesus to say, when you come into your glory, will you remember me? And Jesus said, hey, before the day is over, I'm going to see you in paradise. You know, it's that everybody in kind of mentality. And you can't get that without releasing the negative polarity. So I personally would never choose negative polarity, because looked at from a cosmological viewpoint or from the widest viewpoint that I know of, it's a short-term affair. So why go through all the agony?
So really, with all these negative entities that are out there that are affecting us, really, those are, in essence, lower-level entities.
Well, lower-level than.
Right.
Lower-level than mid-sixth density, yes.
Right.
They certainly
right.
have their part to play, and I would never encourage someone to make a choice that they wouldn't necessarily want to make.
Right.
If they're drawn to that picnic, I say go to it and never mind the ants. But I certainly wouldn't explore negatively oriented material like Satanism or any of its fellows simply to become more and more familiar with the details of how the opposition works. What you really have to do is focus on how you want to live and how you want to be. People have talked to me a lot, especially critics, about how naive I am. But actually, I've dealt with quite a bit of energy from negatively oriented sources, beginning with my own shadow side, which I've had to come face to face to again and again in staying honest with my own work. And also the phenomenon called psychic greeting or psychic attack, where an entity of higher density of a negatively oriented path decides that they really would like to put out your light because you're a little bit too effective in waking people up and making them scratch their heads and go, gee, maybe it's the day I'd like to wake up. So I really think that it's pretty simple. It's not so necessary to know your enemy and to get into all of the various do's and don'ts and hows and whys of negatively polarized information. It's out there. If you're drawn to it and attracted to it, knock yourself out, you know. But at the end of it, and I read through tons of negatively oriented information back in the 70s when I was trying to get a hold of just exactly what this phenomenon of channeling was about, I just became aware that it was all such a con game that really I was going to treat it with a certain amount of humor. The Emerald Tablets, to me, is probably the best conspiracy negative information out there. If you're looking for something to have a good time with and see a little bit more about how negative polarization works, check it out, you know.
That's the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, right?
Well, the Emerald Tablets have a lot of, they've gone through a lot of different changes since I first ran across them in the 70s. If you can find the original story having to do with people finding information inside rocks out west, sort of like Stargate, you know, it was all inside of a mountain, and they got into this mountain and they found all this information. And then they just start reading off of the tablets, you know, and that's why it's called the Emerald Tablets, because they've got so many tablets of information, and they're just passing this information on to you. It's wonderfully done, and it's very stylish stuff, and a lot of the conspiracy and negative information out there is not very stylish, so if you're going to look...
I like the way you approach this.
Yeah, if you're going to look at the stuff, why not start with something that has some redeeming values, just from the standpoint of the reader, you know, enjoying his trek through this particular kind of information.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, and that is, the fourth density is the density of compassion in the heart. Did we say that?
We did.
Now, how could a negatively oriented service to self being exist in the fourth density?
Well, they love themselves with all their heart.
I see. So they can love themselves. I got you. Okay. So they love themselves.
They love themselves, and what's not to love? I mean, we are the creator. We're all, you know, we're all parts of the creative principle. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say that in a way that doesn't get into megalomania, except to say that we're very young gods with a lot of distortion in our characters and a lot of false, you know, leads that we're following up, and we'll find them to be red herrings. That's not a puzzle piece. Put it down. Move on. You know, you pick up so much information and have to put down so many puzzle pieces on their way to this one piece, and you go, now, wait a minute. This piece resonates. I think I know where this goes. Because you're making your own subjective little truth puzzle here. And how you make up the way you understand the universe is strictly going to be your own creation. And you really do have to be creative.
You are so balanced. I mean, I just get that feeling that... you've balanced yourself, and, you know, it comes across in how you speak and what you say, because you have the awareness of both sides, and you've balanced that within you, and, you know, I have no doubt you know exactly who you are. And, I mean, it's just a pleasure to be speaking with you, because I love the way you're wording things, because it's really all a journey, and you allude to that it's the journey, and we can do as we choose to, and we're little gods in motion, basically, and whatever floats your boat, do it.
That's right, but realize that what you judge remains judged in this world, and what you forgive remains forgiven.
Exactly.
So to those to whom power is given comes a new quest, and that is for the right use of that power.
Responsibility, correct.
Interesting question. You know, I know you talk a lot to people and counsel people. Do you ever find that you're in the middle of a counseling or talking, and suddenly it's not, you know, they're blending with you, and they start adding to the information, and it's kind of like the division between you and them becomes almost, the person doesn't even know that's happening.
Well, I don't know that's happening, but I'm told at the end of a lot of counseling sessions that it has happened.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a totally unconscious situation. I am one of those weird psychics that has no idea. I don't have a clue. Whether it's channeling or whether it's counseling, that remains true. I really don't know when I've hit something that's really deep. The person might not have even asked it, but it'll come out. It'll come out in some phrasing that, and they can't even explain why it resonates, but it pulls back from them things that have happened in their past and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have found that to be true a lot.
I would think so. And do you have the experience that we have this veil on this level, so we can't perceive things directly, but do you have this feeling that they're with you, like they're paying attention to you, like, you know, you're eating breakfast and you have a presence with you, like in your energy field?
I have a constant sense of presence. I really do. But then I invoke it and invite it deliberately.
Right.
Every morning when I wake up, before I even get vertical, I pray to Holly, and I say, Holly, help, because I don't know what the day is going to bring.
Amazing.
But I do know that this is the now. This is my chance. This, you know, the rest of everything fades away. This day is the central point in my life, And I don't want to misinformation. I don't want to be, and I'm going to make a lot of mistakes today. So I just, I know to ask for help. And I ask for it, and I don't know why I'm going to need the help. I just know that the day is going to bring things, but I really do need that basic tuning. So I try to start on it before I even get up.
Now, actually, an average person, if there is such a thing, which there isn't, but a person that, say, doesn't channel could still get this sense of this presence with them, couldn't they, that
absolutely,
their guides?
Yeah.
In fact, that's probably easier than channeling, isn't it?
It really is. Actually, I think the quickest way to become aware of just how incredible a resource you are as a person is to look at yourself in the mirror. And I'm not talking about looking at your face and going, look at that zit. I'm talking about looking into the mirror, looking into your eyes, looking not at your eyes, but looking into the black part that the light is coming through, that aperture, which then, you know, takes the information, turns it upside down, and shoots it off to the brain in little pixels. I'm talking about getting into the part where you're entering into the body system. Look into that mirror, looking into your eyes, and do it for no more than 5 minutes, because it's very powerful. And see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will begin to see, I mean, all sorts of different things happen to people depending on where they are.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to say anything about what happens next. I'm just going to say that in most cases, you stop becoming aware of yourself as a personality shell and begin becoming aware of yourself as a real entity that can't be fooled and can't fool anybody and has no need to. You see the real entity emerging, living, breathing, that entity that you cannot really get hold of, no matter how hard you think. Just by being there and looking at yourself being there, it cuts through a lot of detail and gets you into a situation where you can take a leap of faith a lot faster after you've actually become aware of that person in the mirror that's looking back at you.
Wow, Carla, wow. You know, that's amazing that you say that, because it gives me goosebumps when you said that.
Now, Don, when she said it to me, I said, if I look in the mirror, I'm going to think I need a nose job.
But when it gives you character. Just like my lack of a chin gives me character.
You must be, obviously you're psychic and you're able to channel, but, and please don't be modest on this question, just how psychic are you? I mean, by that I mean, can you see future events? Can you tell what people are thinking?
No.
Can you remote view?
No.
Okay.
None of that stuff.
Gotcha.
I've avoided getting out of my body for decades.
Understood.
Because I'm just too sensitive for it. I'm not prepared to meet the entities I would meet if I were off gallivanting around.
Right.
So I don't make that choice for myself. I leave it to much sturdier individuals who are more geared towards enjoying that kind of work. I would have said to you years ago that I wasn't psychic at all. I remain completely unaware of it.
Right.
However, I think a lot of people are like this. They know what they know. And when something comes to me, I really don't question it. But usually, as I said before, when what psychics say when they've gotten something accurate is they've got a hit. When I get hits with my clients, I don't have a clue. I have absolutely no idea. I'm the last person to know. I'm just naive and gullible and being very sincere and usually a little bit too earnest and not at all aware of my psychic tendencies. No, I don't think I ever will be in this life. It didn't seem to have been necessary for me to know. It was just necessary for me to be open to believing in my hunches and believing in myself. And I really have done that for a long time. And I think the more you do that, the more you can do it. It's a habit.
Well, have you ever heard, like, if you've been sitting there Obviously, when you channel, you're tuning into a band, a frequency, and you're picking up these various channelings or sources and their information. But do you ever, when you're walking down the road, sitting in a car, or sitting at a computer, or and a voice just hits you right in the head, and you may be even busy with something, your mind's all, I mean, let's
no,
not...
No, I'm not psychic like that at all.
Okay.
I spend about a half an hour tuning for a session. Even before I came on the show with you guys,
right?
I spent the same half hour working to my own best subjective tuning, asking for all the guidance that I could get, focusing my body energies, my mental energies, and so forth, just so that I could do the best job that I possibly can,
mm-hmm.
and be as transparent to spirit as I possibly can.
Right.
And those are my goals.
Don?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead, Carla.
Huh?
Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, I was just saying that and creating a really happy and loving conversation with you guys. Because that's really important. I think when people are listening to one of these things, just the pleasure of listening to a conversation where nobody's trying to score on anybody or be right.
Don's mother always gets on my case. When I talk too much.
But she loves you.
Well, now she can get on my case. I really talk way too much here. I apologize for that.
You know, quite frankly, I could go on talking for hours, and so could Don. But I think it's a good idea. We're kind of at a high point, and I want you back again soon, because we didn't barely scratch the surface.
Oh, just barely.
Of the raw material, what's happening, what's going on in the world, all that stuff. And so is that okay with you? Is this seem like a good point?
Terrific to me.
Yeah.
I think that's great. You know, this, you can just take in so much information that you've got to breathe,
right.
man, breathe.
Right. I do want to make a couple comments. And that is, I would like to suggest to Don that we put a little section of some of your channelings up on Blogin Service.
Absolutely.
Some of the quote channelings.
Absolutely.
And you can pick the ones that you think are best. And if you want, you can do one specially for Blogin checkers in, you know, and...
I could do one of those over the phone because what I need for that is a group of three people.
But we could do it like this, you know.
I see no reason why we couldn't do it like this.
Should we do it live? Could we do a live show with Quo talking?
As the only part of it that you'd really have to do beforehand is you'd really have to think about your question.
Okay.
The answer is implicit in the question. They say
mm-hmm.
this over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So the way you phrase the question, the depth of your passion about the question,
mm-hmm.
just how focused you are in asking the question, how clear
mm-hmm.
you are about what you're asking and at what level, all of these things really add into making for a great session. So I think
could we have listeners email us some questions?
Yeah, I think that's the best of all, is that you've got the people that are listening to the show that create part of the group, so it's not just us three,
yeah,
but that anybody's involved.
And but the thing is, I don't want to open the phone lines up to questions because we want to monitor the questions. We want to make sure they're not.
You need to, and you also need to check with me beforehand because I've been dealing with these questions for decades now. So mm-hmm. I really know what phrasing is going to get the best answer. For
mm-hmm.
instance, if someone writes in and says, I'm really concerned about 2012 and I want to know a safe place to go, they'll say, I'm sorry, but this is something that would infringe on your free will, and we won't talk about it. If somebody says, I'm so excited to be living in these times, and I wondered if you could share any comments that you would find helpful about the Mayan calendar in 2012. Well, that was a question that the E-Zine Planet Lightworker magazine asked
I sent that interview out to lots and lots of people.
Did you? Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
I'd really like to see that. Why don't you send it to me, too?
I'll send it to you, too. Right, okay.
They talked for quite a while about that. And
mm-hmm.
because of the fact there was absolutely no fear involved mm-hmm. in the asking of the question, they were quite
mm-hmm.
chatty on the subject
mm-hmm.
of 2012.
Oh, Okay.
But it has a lot to do with how you ask the question.
So we'll screen the questions.
We'll talk about this more, but screening the questions is definitely part of it.
We'll invite listeners to email Don some questions, and then we'll compile them, and we'll pick the ones that we feel are most relevant, and we will talk to Chloe on the air, right?
That sounds fine to me.
We can do that, okay?
You know, I have one more question, and this is kind of odd because I normally don't have any questions. You know, many people, of course, that are on BBS Radio and they channel and they're always asking me put together questions, or if you want to have questions, or you want to have sessions, or you want to know about this, or you want to know about that, or even Wynn often says put together questions for this, that, and the other. And do I ever do that? I never do that because it's not that I lack any curiosity. It's just that it's hard. Do you understand what I'm saying, Carla? When you get to a place in your life where questions just, I don't even know what I'm saying. It's just.
Well, I think what you're saying is that since the answer is implicit in the question, that there comes a point where you've been through the questions, you've gotten the answers, you go back into the mystery, you ask another question, you get the answer takes you back into the mystery, and eventually you think, you know, I'm content. I'm going to stay in the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, for somebody else, totally consumed with scientific intellectual curiosity, questions were everything.
Right.
But his spiritual process was involved in the refinement of his quotes. So it just all depends. I think that there can be a real creative aspect to asking questions. I also totally agree with you. I almost never have a question unless it's a practical question.
Yes, exactly.
But you know, as I see it, as one becomes more and more in the here and now, it's like you ask the question about what do I do next, and it immediately comes to you. And you're operating in the hologram as it exists right now.
Right. As long as you stay in the now, that works.
Yeah.
Other day, I was working with a very big question, and the next thing I picked up, I channeled in 1991,
mm-hmm.
and I was doing some editing. I'm trying to get a co-channeling volume that I did with Barbara Brodsky, who channels Aaron, for Deep Spring. I don't remember the website details, but if you do Barbara Brodsky on Google, B-R-O-D-S-K-Y, you'll find her. Anyway,
okay.
She's a wonderful channel. And the information that I needed, I channeled in 1991 and forgotten all about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's how quick guidance is and how little connected with time.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask the question, the guidance is there.
Before we sign off, I want to just run down your different products. You have a book out called The Channeler's Handbook, and that tells people how to channel or how to
guide it. No, it tells people who are channeling and want to do it better how to make it better.
Okay. And then you have the Law of One series, which is 5 books of your original Ra channelings with Don Elkins, correct?
This is true.
And that's and then you do counseling for people, correct?
I do.
And
if you go on llresearch.org, there's a page called Carla's Page, and you can
mm-hmm.
see if that's for you by going there.
And then there's a load. There's probably, I would say, hundreds of pages of channelings on LL Research.
It's over 1,000 sessions now.
1,000 sessions.
Going back to 1974 when I started learning how.
And those of you that need input of higher sources to trigger your own wisdom, you have a free resource on LLResearch.org.
I like that.
LL Resource. That's even better, isn't it?
It is.
Listen to, maybe you should get that URL.
Back, Simba.
But there's a huge resource. And now my experience of channelings, reading channelings like yours, is that it triggers my inner wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it tells me things that I already know, but I don't have it at the front of my consciousness. And then I hear it, and I say, yes, that's so. And then once I hear it, it feels like I've expanded to another a dimension a little bit higher.
Well, I think you have. I think you're going up a spiral staircase.
Yeah.
And so you click onto something like that. Yes, you heard it before, but you were at a different level.
Right. And then my life changes slightly because things manifest in my life to match that jump I took inside myself. And so I validated it because it has some physical, you know, evidence in my life that's changed, and I watched it. And I remember about 20 years ago, I was so screwed up that I needed so much input of information, because as soon as I was on my own, I'd fall off. I'd go get screwy. I mean, my life would fall apart. I didn't know how to get out of my own hole. But when I would read information or go to spiritual seminars where there was light and there was wisdom, it would pull me out of my hole, at least momentarily, and then I drop back into it and I have to crawl out again. Mm. And so if you're one of those people that feels like they're in a hole and they can't get out of it, you have a wonderful resource to free, no money, to study Carla's channelings on LL Research. And there's probably a year's worth of reading.
Well, even if they're not in a hole, Wynn, because me, when I read Carla's channeling, it was profound, but it just sunk. I soaked it up so fast, it just sunk in, and it made just like perfect sense. It's like, yeah, this is correct, and I felt it. It felt a part of me. It just sunk in like eating peanut butter.
That sounds good. I would like to make the point that when you're looking at channeling, you're never looking at the channeling of one person, unless that person isn't channeling, but just sharing parts of their own unconscious process in a generous way. You're listening to the energy of the group that produced the channeling. The actual channel is a radio, a receiver and a transmitter and to some extent a transducer of light that's coming through, information that's coming through. And we know that light is information and information is light in terms of computers, because everything is brought in on the photons, on light itself. So whatever light or information that you're getting it from the tuning of the entire group. So it's always, to a certain extent, distorted. You're never going to get straight information in words. Straighter information in words is available to the person who goes into the silence and listens to the still small voice. Then you're getting concepts. And the job of a channel is to take those very three-dimensional, four-dimensional, however, very many-dimensional concepts, very living concepts, and trying to nail them down to words in a row.
Difference
is tremendous. So you're always getting some distortion in whatever you're getting, and you're never going to get in words the straight poop. The straight poop is really in the silence, and that is available to us all by stopping talking. A marvelous concept, and one that we can do.
I think that what happens is that when there's a channeling from truly a higher dimensional group source, when you read it, if you have the sensitivity, you start connecting with the energy of that group.
I think
as you
do.
As you're reading it.
It's
and
not
they connect
time-bound.
With you. Yeah. And so suddenly, the words themselves trigger, like a magical thing, this change of energy in you. And that's one of the reasons. Sometimes you can have to read these things over and over again before you get that experience. And some people will get it right off the bat, and they will know this is, I mean, we didn't go into talking about wanderers, but there's many people listening who may be members of that same group soul that volunteered for a mission here on Earth. And when they hear the words, bam, it's like, wow, this is it. Because it's like taking them home. Their energy goes back right to the energy that they started from.
We hear the most from people that log on to the site for some one reason or another and just surf around and go, man, I feel like I came home here.
Exactly.
Well, you know, in a way you have, because you've run into the other 65 million souls or however many it was that incarnated here from elsewhere because they really felt the plight of Earth, felt the sorrow of Earth,
right.
Realized there were a lot of people that wanted to wake up, and they thought, maybe I can help here. Of course,
yes.
most of us, you know, to have awakened from the planetary sleep ourselves.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's
so,
exactly.
So, you know, that it's very important for wanderers to wake up before they can do their part to breathe in, breathe out with an open heart, and just start infecting the rest of the populace with this unconditional love deal.
Exactly. That's what I meant by eating peanut butter.
What we're doing.
That's what we're doing. And we're giving the biggest half of our peanut butter sandwich to somebody else.
So, Don, did I tell you about our contest?
Do we have a contest?
I have a contest.
Who's winning?
Who's winning? I don't know. I'll tell you what it is. I found a very sneaky thing to do. You know,
do we get to win free?
You get to win free. You know, I have my CD of music that I recorded that, you know, before I did any of all this wacko stuff, I thought I was a songwriter and a poet. In fact, sometime when Carla is on, we'll tell you the story of how I was having a broken heart and sending her all my broken heart poems. She remembers that, don't you?
I do, but I don't remember anything I said that's remotely clever.
Well, you were compassionate. You were. Do you know what?
Compassionate heart thing. Yes, that's my strongest part.
I really needed the compassion then, and it helped. And by the way, you know, I have a website up called Conversations with My Girlfriend, with Girlfriend X and Girlfriend Y, we call them.
Well, gosh, you and Jean-Claude Coven should get together because he has conversations with his dog.
He does.
Yeah.
Well, but I really did have two. I really do have two girlfriends, or did, or I don't even know.
Or did.
In the cosmic now, you probably have more than two.
I hate to call them girlfriends because they're much more than that. But, you know, actually it makes it, I decided to call the website Conversations with My Girlfriend to make it so it wasn't threatening, like it wasn't this big deal. So everyone understands girlfriends. And, of course, if you people who are listening haven't checked out the website.
I don't know. That's a broad claim.
Oh, this, yeah.
Everyone understands their girlfriends?
Did I say that?
It was you expressing your female energy, Wynn.
We'll correct that next time, okay? So, but also, my music tape is now available. My music CD is available on CD Baby. And Don has four of my songs available from that CD, which is 11 songs available for free download on the Don and Wynn Show page. So here's the contest. The first 10 people who listen to the four songs and send in a review to Don get a free CD. How's that? The first 10 people. Yeah. In other words, again, I'll say it again so people understand. On the Don and Wynn Show page, isn't there four songs, Don?
There's four or five, actually.
Four songs. I believe there's four songs. So to win the contest, as soon as the show's over, you've got to go and listen to my songs and send Don a review. And it's okay. We're going to post the reviews even if you don't like it. But send a review, and if you send a review, you know, send your address, and we will automatically send you a free CD. And that's for 10 people. How's that? That's the contest. The first 10 people get a free CD. Carla, you listened to my CD, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been a fan of yours for some time, Wynn.
That's right.
I remember sitting listening to you sing for the first time in a motel in, was it Mesquite, Nevada?
Mesquite?
Was it Mesquite? It was someplace in Nevada at a casino somewhere.
Laughlin.
I love Laughlin.
Well, we had many lofts together.
And when Wynn
sold more of our books in the few hours that he took our table over when we weren't sitting at our table selling books than we sold the whole week that we were there.
And, is that right? Is that true?
But what I remember was the delight that I had. In it was one particular song, Wynn. It was Between the Words or...
Dig the Spaces.
Yeah.
Dig the
I
spaces.
Love that song. Is that one of the ones that you've got up, Don?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, go listen to that, folks.
There's Wear My Smile. Now, if you're not one of the first 10, you're just going to have to buy the CD at CD Baby.
But
that's okay.
He's just as engaging in his singing as he is in his talking.
Yeah. This is a very tricky thing I'm doing, Carla. I'm making people listen to my music, and I'm giving, you know, they're going to write reviews, and I'm going to send them free CDs. So then we'll put the reviews up on the page, And
our emails are up on that page. And if you can't find it, because we got so much stuff happening all over blogging service, just go to thedonandwinshow.com, and it'll take you there.
Mm-hmm. And just keep in mind also, send us some questions. Remember, make them. I think you got Carla's criteria, but we'll pick the best. Carla and I will go through the questions, and then we'll do a live channeling with Quo maybe in 3 or 4 weeks. How's that sound, Carla?
We'll see. We'll have to set it up. I'm not anywhere near anything. I'm on vacation visiting my mother-in-law.
Yeah. Well, we'll check it out. But I mean,
I'll have to get together with my day book because things get really crowded after Christmas. But
mm-hmm.
as soon as we can figure a day, we'll definitely do that.
Figure a day, and we'll post it so you can know when it's coming.
It was a privilege and pleasure, sir.
And those people who were so gracious in putting us on their email lists for tonight, we'll put it again through them if they would like to share that. And of course, this is a great opportunity for Jody Boyne's list because those people are enamored of the Law of One. And so please think of your deepest questions and send them in to us. But I think the thing I love best is we had a great time. I was nervous all day.
He kept asking me, are you nervous? Are you nervous? And I'm never nervous when I get to talk about the Love One. I said, I probably should be.
I know. Something else.
You did it for me. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, I processed you all day, right?
Yeah, right.
Is Jim in the background right now?
No, not
Don. Don, no. Jim McCarty. Is he in the background?
Yeah, would you like him to say hello?
Well, let me just say a little bit about Jim. You know, Jim and Carla, I don't know if you're still doing this, but in their, and this is a whole other thing that someday I'd like to talk about, where the two of them sit together and Quo jumps from one to the other. Carla channels for a period of time, and then Jim channels and just picks up in the same group energy.
Well, when we used to do that, Jim stopped doing that soon after the advent of Jim's bond service because he was just so tired from
mm-hmm.
working for a living
mm-hmm.
full time. The way money works changed in this society, and we had been living off of a trust fund, and we had the same money, but it was acting differently, and we weren't able to pay our bills. So Jim naturally did the thing that we do here in Third Density, and he went off to found Jim's Lawn Service, and he works with all of the divas, and he makes the land beautiful by, mowing it and gardening on it and landscaping and stuff. But he comes home at the end of the day, and at the end of the week, he's just exhausted. So
mm-hmm.
after a little while of doing that, he said, listen, could I be excused from this channeling thing because I just never feel like I'm really tuned right, and, I need not to do this for my own integrity. So, no, it's just them jumping from me to me now. He filled
his quota.
His channeling had a wonderful quality to it. I think that what Wynn was saying is true, in that you can tell it's the same source moving from channel to channel if you're doing this in a channeling circle. But every channel has a little flavor of its own. And Jim the Cowboy was just the best in the world at channeling quick answers to questions.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in a paragraph, you got this jewel-like answer that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
mm-hmm.
I once asked him, I said, Jim, you're such a cowboy. Is the only thing you ever say yes, no, or maybe? And he said, yep.
Yeah.
And then he said, no. And then he said, maybe. So that's my baby.
For people that are skeptics, the idea of what happened to you is pretty amazing to have two people and a source jump from one to the other. I mean, it's hard. The most skeptical people think she's making this up or this can't be real. And then, you have a phenomenon like that. You have to walk around scratching your head all day and say, how could that happen? And it's like, I think it's a good story to tell, even though you're not doing it now. It's a good story. So, because it's a validation that there's something transplanetary or something, phenomena that just couldn't possibly
bigger than the both of us.
Bigger than the both of us. You couldn't possibly make that up, and you couldn't two people could not possibly plot and make something like that up and have it come out so wise and clear, so spontaneously.
Well, it's kind of like a sim, you know, A Course in Miracles. That's how I equate the power of the Law of One series. In fact, I mean, if I were to stress anything here during this particular session that we're having, it's that everybody should at least attempt to go to llresearch.org and get into the material.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you do, then, I mean, once you do, you do. But it'll at least either going to sink into you and you're going to get it, or it's going to work on you in one respect, or you'll just leave it alone. I don't know, but at least, it's like my mother always said, try your peas with your mashed potatoes. You'll never know until you try it together.
Yeah.
So,
also, if people are just interested and want to sneak in the back door, instead of looking at the channeling for a little while, you could just follow the Camelot journal. I write a daily journal about what's going on at L&L Research.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on www.lawofone, the Arabic numeral 1.org, and mm-hmm. click on Camelot.
And then it's also Bringforth. Is Bringforth working yet?
Bringforth hasn't been relaunched yet. We got hacked down pretty well. Somebody mm-hmm. really wanted us out of the way.
Yeah.
And fortunately, the webmaster for Law of One, which is an umbrella site of ours, which holds several related sites, saved all of the information that he personally liked, not everything, but a lot of it, over to lawofone.org. And so it's still hovering in the wings there in lawofone.org, waiting to be reestablished when www.bringforth,
mm-hmm.
that's bringforth.org, gets mm-hmm. back up. The my journal and the forums where people can mm-hmm. actually talk about Law of One and
okay.
their own experiences, that's all up on lawofone.org.
And, you know, I'd like to mention, but I'm not going to give the number, something that I've been doing for the past few weeks is I'm doing a conference call every Monday and Tuesday. And I'm talking about my own personal experiences, I'm talking about my book, and it's becoming like a group little energy community of people all around the country, and it's very uplifting energy. It's kind of similar to the energy we're experiencing. I don't know if you guys are experiencing it, but I suspect you are. When we do these shows and things get really loose and fun, there's an energy that transmits out, and we get emails back from people saying, yeah, they got goosebumps and things shifted for them. So if you're interested in checking into the conference call, email me on blogin, and I'll send you the number for it. And on that note, does anyone have anything else to say?
Well, Carla, I got to tell you, I feel energy. I always have, and I don't know why, but you give off an incredibly balanced, serene, peaceful energy. And it's... You know, I've been sitting here, there hasn't been a show that I've been around or heard or been a part of yet that has made me feel so balanced.
Oh, isn't that super? I'm just so glad you had that reaction.
I do, and it's
well,
just
I've enjoyed
wonderful.
It, too. I can't thank you enough.
I bet you a lot of listeners are feeling balanced then.
I bet you they are, because
the rest of them will go running to move their bowels.
You're such a beautiful person, and I just thank you so much for being a part of this and being willing to come on our crazy show, and thank you.
So let's close with the I do this little calling in of the light at the end of the shows, Carla.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a group prayer for all the people that are listening. So, when I finish, I'll give a space if you want to add something or Don wants to add something.
Absolutely not.
We can
you
include
just
it.
Take it away.
All right. Father, Mother, God, I'd like to ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person listening right now, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We'd like you to see this energy passing through your body, radiating from the galactic center through your body through your feet into Mother Earth and healing our planet right at this moment. And while you're sitting in this light energy, send it to those people you care about, that you love, in need of healing. And let's all as a group unite for a moment and send this energy to the grids of our planet, to all of humanity, for the lifting of consciousness as our planet is shifting from third density to fourth density. I thank you all for being with us. I hope you'll tune in again. Don and I do this every Saturday. I really thank Carla for honoring us and Don for working day and night to make all this possible. And I wish you all a good night.
Good night. Thank you, Wynn. And thank you, Carla.
My pleasure and sweet dreams to us all.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.